Let's get to Daryl Marchuk from World Health. Daryl, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Jason. Thanks for having me.
All right, okay. So we're going to get to some myths about fitness today. And the first one is doing high repetition lifting the best way to get toned?
Yeah, this might be the biggest one, in my opinion, right now. So first of all, I think we have to kind of define what people mean by tone. Your muscles always have a tone. They have a neurological tone. But most people, when they come in and say they want more tone, it's the visual representation of a little bit more muscle tone and definition. So really, when we think about where tone comes from, it's two things. One, to get tone, you have to have a low body fat. But the second component of that is having a little bit of muscle. If we stripped off every pound of fat on your body and you didn't have any muscle, you wouldn't look toned. You'd look like a stick. You'd be skinny. And very rarely do we have somebody coming in that says, you know what, I want to look like a twig. Can you make me look like that? And so the one thing that ends up happening is people see, well, you know, there's strength, and then there's muscle building, and then there's the endurance or the toning. So they usually go to the traditional thought of, you know, higher repetitions, like 15 plus repetitions. And really what that teaches your body to do is just lift light weights lots of times. And so if you want tone, I would drop the repetition range a little bit more to somewhere between 7 and 11. Build a little bit of muscle, and you're going to see a lot more tone show up.
Because at some point, you want to get to a repetition that causes fail, correct?
Yeah. Really, the biggest determiner of progress is if you're taking your body to what's considered failure when you work out. And failure is just the definition of that is the ability or the inability to do one more rep with clean form. So at that point, you've hit failure. We don't start swinging the body or start cheating. But at that point, you've hit failure. And if you can do that at a weight that makes you fail sometime, you know, or at some point between 7 and 11 reps, you're probably in the right range to actually build a little bit of muscle and start to see that tone.
All right, Daryl, are machines safer than free weights?
Yes and no. So why I'd say this is a myth is in the end, there's less to think of if you're new to the gym, if you get on a machine. But that being said, a machine is, it doesn't work around your body. And that can be a scary thing. So in the end, if you haven't set yourself up properly on a machine, you haven't aligned the hinge of the machine to the hinge or the joint of your body, it can actually be harder on your body than a free weight. Because with free weights, those weights or how you lift them are going to adjust to how your body moves. And when it comes to machines, your body has to adjust to the machine. So there is less to think about usually. They can be safer, but for anybody who's using machines at any fitness facility they go to, I just recommend that you do just ask for an orientation from the staff to make sure that you are doing them properly.
Now, the one is there's a lot of machine. There's a lot of if you're on television and you watch certain things. Okay, you know what? Maybe you've got a little bit of a extra weight in your stomach, so you want to put a belt and it'll vibrate, and suddenly now your stomach's going to be thin. I guess we call it spot reducing. Is there any that can you actually spot reduce anywhere in your body?
No. So there's no evidence that shows that you can spot reduce in the body. So the one we hear the most is that, you know, I want to lose belly fat, so I need to do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of crunches, and that's going to reduce my body fat. So reducing body fat, how it kind of went on your body is how it's going to come off. And when you're working, let's say you're doing a crunch or you're doing a bicep curl, you're not working the fat tissue, you're working the muscle underneath, but that really doesn't do anything to burn the fat above it. Well, what is going to take away the fat is having your body burn a lot of calories. So it's the combination of a good resistance training program, cardio. So you just decrease fat everywhere, but you cannot spot reduce.
Daryl, a few other ones. Now, you mentioned crunches. Crunches, are they the best ab exercise?
I would say no. So there's always a for who and for what, and things are a little different for everybody. But the crunch, I would say, generally isn't the best one to do. Our body gets, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but our body gets really good at what we ask it to do a lot of. And so when we think about how our core actually functions on our body, it helps stabilize us, it helps rotate our trunk, it helps resist against rotation. And especially when we think about our core being strong for safety and everyday movements, we want that bracing to be able to occur. There's very few times where we in real life do a crunching motion. The only one I can think of consistently is when you wake up and hit your snooze button on your alarm clock. Maybe twice a day if you hit snooze. And so the better off if you have an opportunity are things like planks, side planks, rotations with the cable, resistance to those rotations or exercises called anti-rotations. So there's nothing wrong with crunches. I just wouldn't make that the staple of your ab routine. Do those other things and then add some crunches at the end.
Daryl Marchuk joins us from World Health. We're talking about training myths on the show today. And another few good ones that you need to stretch before exercising. True?
That's a myth for sure. So I think, you know, right from grade school, I think it's been ingrained in a lot of us that, you know, before we start working out that we want to stretch. There's been some research that has shown that stretching can actually decrease your max strength, and stretching ahead of time before exercise can actually lead to a higher risk of injury because it's essentially elongating and relaxing a muscle that before was in a safer position. So what we recommend generally is that you warm up so just warm up before exercise, and the stretching would occur after exercise. Now, the asterisk to that is if you're already previously injured, you do want to make sure that you get some stretching in the area that is really tight, because what happens is our body, it tightens up to protect itself. So if it senses instability or if it senses there's some damage there, when our muscles tighten up, it's a splinting protective effect. So if that's already there, we have to remove that before we exercise. But if you don't have any of that, just make sure you're warm. And then from there, you can go right in.
Should distance athletes do endurance weightlifting?
This is a more technical one, but I'm sure you have listeners out there who are long distance athletes, whether it's triathletes or marathon runners or half marathon participants. And when we really think about one of the optimal ways to train them, it's actually to get them to lift like strength athletes. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but if we think about high rep lifting, which is what often happens in the gym with those type of people, they already have tons of high rep work. If we consider a running stride a rep, we think about how many thousands of repetitions get done when someone's getting ready to do a marathon. So that side and those energy systems and training the muscle that way is already taken care of. But we haven't done and worked on the other side. So strength, max strength can affect endurance. And just trying to keep a simple example of this is if we say that a running stride takes 50 units of force and our max right now is 100, that's 50% of our max. The running stride's not going to change how hard it's going to be to do that stride. But if you can double your max force output to 200 units, that running stride now becomes 25% of your max. So basic logic says that you can do 25% of your max harder and longer than you can if it's 50% of your max. So the eventual goal with any of the long-distance athletes I've worked with is to progress them, and they do have to progress, but getting down to a little bit lower repetition range to really focus on their max strength.
We have a texter wondering, Daryl, are abs a quick twitch muscle requiring less reps?
Opposite, actually. So any of the muscles in the body typically that have to work against gravity a lot are going to be a little bit slower twitch. So for most people, I could generalize and say that the abs and lower back are going to be a little bit more of the stability side. So generally, unless there's a specific reason not to with each person, you'd want to train those for a little bit longer with a little bit higher reps.
And one last one for all of our females, because I had a few of them wondering about the theory and the strategy behind if females are heavy lifting weights, that suddenly they're going to become bulky.
Yeah, another still really common myth. And often when we have somebody coming in, female, and we talk about lifting heavy weights, it's that initial shock and fear on their face. But my response to them, as much as it might be a bad dad joke, is if you can't grow a beard like a guy, you probably can't look like one. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guys that have been in the gym for a while who are doing their best to get bulky, and it takes them a while. So, you know, with females, they don't have the testosterone generally in their body to get really, really bulky. And it's not going to be a light switch. Even if you do want to get bulky, you're not going to, as a female, you're not going to wake up one day and look like a linebacker for the Edmonton Eskimos. So generally what you're looking at is getting a bit of tone. It's very, very difficult for a female to get bulky. And, you know, in doing this for over a decade and training hundreds of clients, I've yet to train one that gets bulky really easily. So for any female listeners out there, feel free to lift some heavy weights, because you're not likely going to turn into the Hulk anytime soon.
Yeah, the only ones who get bulkier are ones who are likely taking a few extra incentive pills, if you know what I'm saying, right? It's not natural.
Exactly. People who are using a few, black market supplements that help with that, for sure.
Daryl, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Have yourself a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.